Humboldt to you all. This is Humboldt Holding Up, our podcast-ish thing that we do because we miss people and we want to reach out and see how they're doing in the pandemic era. My name is Andrew Goff.
And I'm Stephanie McGarry. And it's been an interesting couple of weeks here in Humboldt. We're definitely opening up more. Things are feeling a little bit more normal, but a bunch more businesses have been cleared, pretty much all of them at this point, right? Now we have more things starting to open up, gyms.
And speaking of gyms, this week we will be joined by Tyler Parr. He is the owner of Alpha Fitness Club in Eureka. We're going to ask him about his workout regimen and his business and how COVID has been messing with his life. And also his thoughts on recent protests. He was somebody that put out some thoughts out there online and showed up. So we're going to see what he thinks about how everything's been going with that.
So let's see if we can get him in here. Hey, Tyler.
Hello.
Hey. There we go. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well.
So we are joined by Tyler Parr. Tyler is a personal trainer and owner of the Alpha Fitness Club in Eureka. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, I'm no expert on these fitness things, but in judging by your social media presence, I would say you qualify as shredded. Is that a descriptor you would use?
Yeah, I plead the fifth.
Is there any other terms for this that I'm missing? How would you say it?
Yeah, I think you got it right. Shredded, man. I mean, okay. I try to maintain about 8 to 10% body fat year round. So
okay,
yeah.
Is that good? I'm like, I don't even know what is.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, as I'm lower, I go to like 6 or 5% on a cut, like before I do like a photo shoot or something like that. But yeah. You know, 8 to 10% is like a healthy, you know, where you're not feeling like you're sick, basically.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say I'm a little bit above that. Well, we'll start talking about you know, your business, Alpha Fitness Club, and how COVID has affected you there in a bit. But we usually like to start out by just kind of talking about somebody's kind of Humboldt story. Of course, you and I went to elementary school together, so yeah. I know that you grew up here. Were you actually born in Humboldt? Have you been here your whole life? How did you?
I was born in Eureka at General Hospital, and then we moved to Arcata when I was, I want to say like 4 or 5. And then I stayed in Arcata from kindergarten through fifth grade. And then we moved back to Eureka, and I was in school there till I believe the beginning of seventh grade. And then I got kicked out of school because I was wilding out. I was a little bad kid. And then I went community school. I was the youngest kid in community school because legally they're not allowed to put you in community school until you're a freshman. So I was like a seventh grader in community school with like all these way older kids who were like gangbangers and their parents were on drugs, and like some of them didn't even have parents, they're in foster care. So it was kind of like a culture shock for me because like Arcata is, it's a little bit like, it's really laxed. Like the school system is a lot different. It's very artsy. You know, like you went to Sunset. Sunset was like an art school. It was Sunset School of the Arts. So it was definitely a culture shock for me. Yeah. And so at that age, I was introduced to like gangs and stuff like that. And, you know, the dark side, I guess you could call it. And I bounced from school to school. I kept getting kicked out of schools, like different community schools. And then I went to Blue Ox, which is a really awesome school. And I learned a little bit about business in Blue Ox. They have a great trade program. So I learned how to blacksmith. I learned how to do architecture. I learned pottery. I learned how to work with animals like oxen and chickens and horses. I learned how to do preserves like in jars and whatnot. I learned, you know, woodworking. I learned how to work with my hands, which I think gave me, I think that like built the foundation for my work ethic. It's a really awesome school. And then my mom got married when I was like 15 or 16, and we shot out to McKinleyville. And that was, I think, the biggest culture shock for me because, and not to say that everybody in McKinleyville is racist, I don't want to give that impression to anybody, but I encountered a lot of racism when I moved to McKinleyville. And so I got in a lot of fights, got in a lot of trouble, got shipped off to boot camp when I was 17. And I guess it was like a boot camp slash, they call it like a life skills program or whatever, in Mexico.
Wow. That
was an interesting transition. I was there for 2.5 months. I ended up running, made it back to California, and then they put me in jail for absconding because I turned 18 in the program. I actually went to jail first in Mexico when I ran. They put me, the first time I ran, like 2 days in, I ran, and then they put me in jail to like scare me straight. And then they put me back in the program. I ran back up here, made it up here. And then they put me into the county jail here. And then, yeah, man, chose the life of criminality in my 20s from 18 to like, what? I think the last time I was in jail was like 4 years ago. And then I got out and I was just tired of it, like tired of the crime and the street life. And I decided to like try something different. So I went to CR for about a year, realized that school is a debt trap. And so then I started doing my own research on like trades and business and what the like highest paying jobs are for trades, researched personal training because I was really into fitness, but I also wanted to like life coach people. And that kind of goes hand in hand. So I dropped out of CR. And don't get me wrong, CR is an excellent school. They have a great program. Kente Johnson is actually like, he's like the guy who came into the county jail and was bringing classes in there. And I saw this guy, he like came to Humboldt County with $200 in his pocket, you know, no education or very little education. And now he has like his doctorate and he's a black man. So I was like, dude, if this guy can do it, I can do it. So that's the whole reason why I even went to school was Kente. And just seeing how much progress he's made in the few years that he's been here was really inspirational for me. So when I got out of, I left CR, I got a job at Planet Fitness. I worked there for about 10 months, realized they weren't going to promote me. Like I was a janitor and I had my certification as a personal trainer and they just weren't giving me any love. And I was like, dude, like I work 3 a.m. to 11. I'm here 2 hours afterwards training, like on my lunch break, I'm riding my bike home to take my daughter to school and then riding back and coming and finishing my shift out. Like I'm never late. I'm always here on time. I'm never miss a day. Like, give me a promotion. You know what I'm saying? I'm making 13 bucks an hour. I've been here for 10 months and they just weren't showing me any love. So I got a job offer at another gym as a personal trainer. So I went over there and it was kind of the same narrative. It was like, you pay us $600 a month to use our equipment. And I'm like, 600 bucks a month, that's more than I'm paying in rent. You know what I mean? And so I did that for about 6-7 months. And I just like, I felt like I was being extorted, you know? And so I researched how to build your own gym and I just kind of like educated myself on it. I linked up with a couple people who wanted to help me with the investment. So I got the little investment, got a storage unit, started putting equipment in the storage unit. And I was like dead broke. I had to sell my car and like everything. So I'm like riding my bike to work. Yeah. And then I found a property that was for rent for super low. And I just hopped in it head first. And then I built Alpha Fitness Clubs and it's been going ever since for about a year and a half.
So Alpha Fitness Club, for people who don't know, it's located on Fifth Street, approximately a stone's throw away from Denny's in the Lloyd Building, which is this big, you know, big brick monstrosity that I think people would recognize. And it seems like a perfect place for a gym. So for Alpha Fitness Club, what areas of fitness would you guys say you specialize in?
Oh man, it's pretty vast because it's not just me. You know what I'm saying? Like, so personal training gyms usually don't have employees. We have independent contractors. So anybody can work at Alpha Fitness Clubs. You're not necessarily working for the club. You're working as an independent contractor. So I'm not your boss. Like there's just guidelines for the gym, you know, that you have to follow. You sign a contract and you come in and you train your clients and then you just pay a percentage. So the design of Alpha Fitness Clubs is designed so that trainers can actually make money. So we get all types of trainers. I've had probably 10 trainers in the last year who are independent contractors. Some moved on to bigger ventures because my ideology is that I want to teach them the business so that they can be their own brand and move on. So we've had sports conditioning coaches. We've had postnatal. We've had stress management. We've had several boxing coaches. We've had, we have a Kung Fu instructor right now. We have a sports conditioning coach. We have Jamila, which is postnatal stress management. And then myself, which is boxing, sports conditioning, bodybuilding, weight loss. So we pretty much do everything you can think of, nutrition, all the good stuff. Yeah. And my whole philosophy, you know, and I got this philosophy from Roy Gomez that owns Heart of the Emerald Dispensary and Forever Found. You know, his philosophy is if they don't have the product, then they're going to refer you to another dispensary. And because they want the customer to get their medicine. And so that's the same ideology that I hold, that if we don't have the trainer that specifies in the area that you need help in, we're going to refer you to another gym or to another trainer. I think it's really important to build relationships in the community. So I'm not just going to take your money and not give you the product that you want. You know what I mean? I want to actually give you the value that you need and give you the training that you need. So if I can't provide that, I'm going to refer you to another gym. IOC, Institute of Combat. Like, if I don't teach people wrestling and jiu-jitsu. You know, I took wrestling in high school, but I wasn't the best at it. So I'm going to refer you to John Thompson and Cass Bell if you want to wrestle, you know, or like Rui, Brazilian jiu-jitsu down the street from us. Pete Hahn, he's a great jiu-jitsu instructor. I'm not going to like try to teach you something I don't know.
To bring it back into talking a little bit about the pandemic, how that's affected things. Earlier this week, the county approved most businesses, gave the green light to prepare for reopening, and gyms and centers are on that list. Can you talk a little bit about what the last 3 months have been like?
Yeah, so last summer was probably our lowest time, and it was pretty scary. So I had set everything up over the last year to make sure that it worked perfectly for the summer. And then all of a sudden COVID hit. So it was like, you know, I'm trying to hit these numbers and, you know, make sure that we're all secure and I don't have to take out another loan. So it was pretty stressful. One thing I do want to say is that the government came through. You know, the government came through with the loans and they're forgivable. I'm actually about to fill out the paperwork for the forgiveness portion of my loan so that I don't have to pay them back anything. We got unemployment. So, I mean, everything, as far as finances go, we're doing really well. And it wasn't as scary as I thought it was going to be, you know? So that portion of it was taken care of by the government. And I appreciate that because it was scary. And as far as the clients go, you know, just maintaining contact, you know, sending them videos, you know, basic stuff, you know, just keeping in contact with them. And some people come back with 15 pounds on them. Some people come back with 10 pounds. You know what I mean? I think the confusing thing is that they gave us the clearance to open on the 10th. And then all of a sudden they said, oh, you need to recertify, which is like, we never even certified in the first place. What does recertify mean? You know what I mean? So then we would go on the website and there would be like no information for gyms or salons, which was really confusing. Like, we're watching other places open, but not gyms and salons. Like, liquor stores are open. It's crazy. Like, you know, it's like, people can get drunk and smoke cigarettes, but you can't, you know, be healthy and work on fitness. And so that was pretty frustrating for all of us, all gyms and salons. Other gyms, I'm not going to name names, but they decided to open early. And when I saw them open, I was like, oh, we're open. So I put out an ad to open. I'm like, oh, gyms are allowed to open. And then I got the information that we needed to recertify. So I submitted my recertification, passed it, whatever. And so now we're officially open. But like, all the machines have to be 6 feet away, mouth to mouth. So they had to go around. We had to go around and measure each machine 6 feet away. And then masks are suggested. So everything in this recertification is suggestion. None of it is actually like, you have to do this. It's all suggestion. If you actually read the recertification, it's just, we suggest that. It is suggested that. but nothing is actually like officially, you have to do it. Except for, you have to check temperature. They have a fever, they can't come in the facility. Entering and exiting, you have to have a mask on, but while actually doing the exercise, you don't, which would be dangerous. I mean, because you're recycling CO2 and you're getting lack of oxygen or whatever. So we're just maintaining all the guidelines and, you know, making sure we wash our hands constantly, use hand sanitizer, deep clean the entire facility, you know, every night, which really sucks. But we were already really good at making sure that we wipe down everything after clients use it and stuff. But now we're doing like super deep cleans, bleaching everything, making sure that it's, you know, up to code.
So to switch it up a little bit, I'll tell you that your presence and your voice first came into my field of vision during the recent protests in Eureka. And I was intrigued by some of the nuance that I was hearing from you as a Black man, but also as someone whose father, I think you mentioned, is a police officer in Atlanta. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to hear a little bit more from you on that. What was your perception of the Eureka protests?
Oh man. So, let me just say this. I think it was 3 days ago, my facility was broken into. So someone tried to get in through the fire escape exit. They busted down one door and I guess they just slept in there. So when people say defund the police, it's like, well, who's going to protect my business from people like that? You know what I'm saying? So I just want to say, I want to start with saying that. Then I'll go ahead and say, you know, there's been truckloads of evidence that has shown that our Black people, brown people, our protests have been infiltrated by negative entities who want to use our protests for their own agenda. And we've seen it time and time again. Marcus Garvey, if you guys check him out, he was one of the most successful Black men in the world. He built huge businesses for the Black community and employed probably thousands of Black people. Marcus Garvey's organization was infiltrated by spies that were hired by government entities to destroy his business. And that's exactly what happened. Malcolm X, for instance, was killed by his own people. Well, I wouldn't say his own people, but by Black people. You know, we've seen it happen time and time again. And I know that Black leaders are afraid to be Black leaders. So when I see protests organized by, and I hate generalizing and saying white people, because white isn't a nationality. It's just a color, just like Black is. And I don't really like identifying people as Black and white, but that, I guess that's what we're doing now. So the Humboldt County, the majority of the Humboldt County protests were organized by white groups. And so I believe it was the 30th of last month, I got off my online training shift and I went to go to the protest, and I'm pulling away from my gym and I see a huge mob of people marching the wrong direction down Fifth Street, which is the 101 freeway. And then I see one group cutting off down E Street, the other group cutting up off down the opposite side of E Street, and one walking right down the middle of the road. And the cops are trying to like block the traffic so people don't get hit by cars. And there's absolutely no organization. There's no one leading the protest. It's just chaos. I'm watching people spray paint buildings and break windows and smash cop car windows. And I'm looking at the crowd and the majority of the people are white. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? I'm like, who's leading our people? So immediately I jump on my Instagram, I post a video and I say, hey you guys, I just want everybody to make sure that you're being safe during this protest. And it's supposed to be a peaceful protest, you know? And so I decided not to join that day. I posted a few videos on my Instagram and Facebook, you know, stating my position. I talked to my father. I reached out to him because I was really concerned. I was like, Dad, like, what is your view, you know, as a Black man, as a police officer who's been on the police force, you know, for since I was a little kid, what is your view? What is your perception? And he's like, pretty much told me like what they're portraying on the media isn't necessarily what's really happening. They're trying to keep our attention off of what's really going on. I can't really reveal too much of it, but there are definitely powers that be that want this to happen, that want to create division in our country, in our world, and use it for their own political gain. They really, 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 really are trying to confuse us and use fear to control us. You know, my father was one of the first responders at the bomb at the Atlanta Olympics. And so this man is a man who's a fantastic father, a businessman. He employs other Black people. He has a security company where he employs Black people. You know, my brother and sister are super successful college graduates. You know, I nothing but good things to say about this man. And the majority of the police in Atlanta, the mass majority, are Black men and women. So that coming from him, and he's actually retired, but he's on call now for the bomb squad because of everything that's going on. That coming from him made me change my perspective on the defund the police thing. And, you know, the fact that we're not safe in our own protests. Everybody has masks on. I don't think that's a coincidence that we all have to wear masks while all this rioting and crazy stuff is going on in our country.
Here in Humboldt, though, like, you know, the subsequent demonstrations that Loco has been to, like in Arcata, McKinleyville, Fortuna, they've been a lot less frenetic than those initial Eureka events were. And it feels like it's allowed for a lot more dialogue to happen. And just as someone also that has grew up here, I feel like I've seen people confronted with ideas about concerning equality that maybe they've never had to consider before. For yourself, as someone who's spent a good deal of life here, do you think this last month changes anything for the better?
I mean, it's really hard to like make a statement on that. I don't believe in, I gotta be careful how I word this. It depends on what you mean for the better, man. I mean, I honestly believe that there's a lot of tension, racial tension. I had a guy come in the other day, a client, and he said he was scared to be white because white people are being ridiculed by people of color and by other white people who are, you know, backing people of color. And I refuse to be a victim. You know, I don't want sympathy, from people because I'm a person of color. I believe in like, you know, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and getting it. You know, I was a freaking heroin addict for my 20s and in and out of institutions and jails. And I decided to make my own fate, and I'm very pleased with it. I have encountered racism from individual people in law enforcement, but not, you know, I've also had cops let me go. You know, I gave an example on one of my videos. I got a speeding ticket last July, and I was going 10 miles over the speed limit. The cop was a white cop. The CHP was a white cop. My license was expired, and I was in my grandma's car. He just wrote me a ticket for the speeding ticket and let me go. And he could have arrested me, impounded my grandma's car. You know what I mean? He could have, and I was on my way to work. So there's good and there's bad in every single organization. So do I think the change is for the better? I don't know. I don't think we'll know until a few years from now. You know what I mean? We'll see what the repercussions of everything that's happened, but I do believe that it's created a lot of division, and there will be some negative backlash from the things that have happened in our country. I think instead of us saying Democrats, Republicans, left, right, we need to just address things as humans instead of it being political or racial. I believe these issues are human issues. It's humans' rights issues.
Well, thank you. I was thinking that maybe this was the last couple of minutes that we have, maybe if you have a message about, you know, especially about back to fitness, what's your philosophy with fitness that you try to impart on your clients and maybe want to share with everybody?
So as human beings, we've been given a huge opportunity. We're the only mammals that can choose what we want to be. You know, you look at a dolphin, it's a dolphin its whole life. You look at a lion its whole life. A cat is just going to be a cat. It's going to lick itself and cough up hairballs. Like, that's its life path. So if you're a human being, you can be whatever you want, whenever you want. You just have to make the choice and stick to it. So if you're tired of being overweight and unhealthy, or frail and malnourished, you can change that, you know. And it's okay to ask for help. You know, on my journey, I've had several mentors. I still have mentors to this day. It's just asking the right people and asking the right questions. And you know, we're in the age of technology and internet. You can learn anything on the internet. I've learned so many things on the internet. You do want to be careful what sources you're learning from, but if you want to make a change, the best time to do it is now.
Thank you, Tyler, for taking time to talk with us. And I hope that Alpha Fitness Club gets back going. Yeah, again, thank you for sharing your story and your time with us.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll be in sometime into Alpha Fitness.
Yeah, the first session is free if you guys want to do a boxing lesson.
I want to see Steph boxing. Okay, there it is. I'd like to thank Tyler for getting dirty on the Zoom with us. Wait, why did I say that? I don't know why I would phrase it that way. But yeah, I hope to see some video of Steph and Tyler boxing in the near future.
Is this talk making you feel inspired to hit the gym again?
Yes, I want to be hit in the face.
I think that... I like to use COVID as an excuse, but let's be honest.
Steph, if you wanna go, I box you. Thank you, everyone. Be safe out there, and I guess maybe we'll see you next week. I don't know.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Hey.